Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
I don't know where to go after all this. He deserves all the glory and all the credit and all the honor. Amen. You guys wanting to come up and get the plates, I get it. Oh, man, it's been a good day already. How about that? Happy Father's Day. Man, it's good to celebrate the fathers and the things that God has done inside our lives to be able to help us to impart to other people, to our children, wives, and the community, and everybody else is so special. But before we get into anything else, I'd like to honor all the fathers today. If you will, just come on up and stand up here with me. And Bible says to honor those, you know, honor all men. And everybody that deserves honor, give them honor. But he says, honor all people. Honor everybody. Oh, my goodness, yeah. Good to see you guys. Woo. Yes, come on up. Woo. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah.
Senior pastor, right?
Did I get in front of him? Is that what I do? No, no. Oh, my goodness. Listen, since we're curled around, you guys just come up the steps and stand. You know, all you guys that are curled around, come up the steps and stand up. You guys do the same thing. Come up the if you can, come up the steps, and that way everybody gets to see everybody. Oh, come on, come on. Don't be bashful. Come on up. We want to see everybody. Front and center. Oh, amen. Oh, man, good looking group. Good looking group. Whoever's got cameras, take some pictures. You know, good group of men. I want to, we got some things to share with you, and as they do, let me say this first. What we're giving you today is a coin that is in honor of 250 years birthday in the nation. So it's commemorating the birth of the nation. So it's a special, special coin. So I want to make sure that you get that. So y'all go ahead and give that out. And but I want to say this to you as they're giving it out. You have a divine influence. When I say divine influence, it's divinely given by God. God's given you the influence to lead, to be the father of your children and a husband to your wife. Now listen, the best thing that we can ever give our children, you ready for this? The best thing you can ever give your children is love their mama. Amen. Love their mother. Treat her with respect, with honor, with dignity. It will make such an impression on the children when they see the father openly cherish their mom. And to lift her up and to respect her and to give her great honor. Now back to the influence. Here's the influence that I've read just probably a few months ago. When a father starts going to church first, you got that? When the father starts going to church first, 93% their family follows them. 93% of families follow them to church. That's your divine influence. That's what it is. When a mother starts to church first, 17%. It's not a slight on mothers. It is showing that God has given influence to lead to the leaders, the heads of the home. And we want to make sure that we do that. But we can influence our children to God, for God, or we can influence our children for the world. So we need to make sure that our influence is toward God. Now, if children go to church first, 4% of the families go. It's the biggest influence in a home toward God is with the man of the house, with the fathers. And we just want to make sure that we honor you today. All of you are very special. Special to God, special to me, special to this house, special to your families. And I want to pray over you today, and I want you to understand that He is the one that did it all in you, to you, and through you. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank you for these men of God. We thank you for their placement that you've put us in each family that you have us in. We thank you, Lord, that you've given fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers in these men. And Lord, I just pray that there'd be a special blessing from heaven in these men to impart who you are to their family, their children, their community, and this house, and the world. And Lord, give them strength, give them the words, fill them with your spirit, that they may glorify you in all that they say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand up and give God praise for these men. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Everybody get a coin. God bless you. Oh, man, that's good. that is good. I read that stat, and I'm like, my goodness gracious, you know, God, you've given us such influence. Don't let us squander the influence that you've given us. Don't let us squander it. Help us to fulfill the very meaning of being a father, being a husband. And, just for you, just so you fathers understand, you know, the thing of being a husband, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And how did he do that? He gave himself up for the church. Think about that, men. Think about that. There'll be times when she wants you to go. Listen. Brenda, years ago, Brenda would want to go shopping. And I'd say, okay, you know. And then sometimes I'd say, okay, that'd be good. That'd be good. But see, it's okay to do that. But when you get there, don't do like I did at the beginning. I bled all over everybody. You ready to go yet? Yeah. You know, see, years later, you begin to understand. Lay down your life for her. It means a lot to the kids. It means a ton to her. Don't say yes and then bleed all over everybody. That's what I did. You know, it's like, you know, everybody knew I was in pain, you know. And I would draw them to me at the mall. How you doing? I'm doing good. Are you miserable too? Yeah, you just don't know how miserable I am. You know, but see, once again, you begin to understand that what I wanted to do during that time was important for me, but it wasn't for God. What was important to God for me at that time was to make her feel cherished and loved and cared for and be excited about what she enjoys. I still have to work on it. Not going to the mall. Chick flicks. Just like. You know, she wanted to watch a certain movie. And I said, okay. I remember one time she wanted to do something. I'm going to get to the message. I will. But I remember one time she was wanting to watch something. And I really didn't want to watch that. You know, so you know what? Being me, I laid down on the floor. What are you doing? I'm laying down my life for you. Go over and kick me on the leg. Get up. I know when you're faking it. Oh, me. But been knowing her 60 years. Amen. Married to her for 57. I tell you what, I'm ready for 57 more. Amen. Okay. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you that you have already stirred our hearts toward you today. And Lord, we want to continue that theme that you deserve it all. So we ask you to speak today through your servant. Speak by the power of the Holy Spirit. Bring us to the place of fullness in you. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking a little bit, a few weeks, about the fall, the freedom, and the fullness. We talked first Sunday about the fall of man. How through one man we all became sinners. Over in the book of Romans, if through one man, through his sin, we all became sinners. And they doubted God, and that was happened to us a lot of times. We doubt God. They dealt with shame. They feared God, hiding themselves. How many of us ever done that? We fear God in a wrong way, and we're ashamed. They blamed God. They blamed each other, and then they avoided all responsibility. This is going on today, you know. So we've got to make sure that we come to the fullness of what God wants us to be and who God wants us to be. And we avoid responsibility. They avoided responsibility, and they tried to improve their own selves. Sowing of the fig leaves. I can improve this. Have you ever improved the quality of your life and found out you made it worse? Yeah, we all do that. And as we begin to see that, we've tried to improve ourselves. And then they dealt with comparison and competition. Still goes on today. But God, in his plan, sent Jesus. Hallelujah. He sent Jesus to pay the price, to buy us back from the fall. And in the process of that, he gave us freedom. See, the same verse that says, through one man, sin entered the world, we all became sinners. And he said, through one man, they won, Jesus Christ, we all are made righteous. Through his obedience, we're all made righteous. So in the process of him coming, we talked about the freedom. And in that freedom, he says, I have positioned you in me. Upon receiving Christ and the great sacrifice that he made, he positioned us in him. He justified us. He made us innocent. He freed us from the penalty of sin. He freed us from the power of sin. He made us a new creature, a new creation. He reconciled us. We have favor with God. Oh, man, that's awesome. We are made righteous. We are redeemed. We are sealed. We're secure. We're hidden. We're seated with Christ. We're protected. and we're sanctified. We've been sanctified, we're being sanctified, and we'll be sanctified in the future. Amen? So I see that, and I'm looking at that, and I'm like, God, this is absolutely wonderful. See, this is our starting point in Him. Not to earn it, but to walk in what He's provided. You and I can't make it happen. I mean, how many of you have ever tried to fix yourself? Yeah, I can, said His words, I can do this. Knowing that you just lied. You know, but you believe yourself. And then God tenderly and sweetly, really, He begins to show you that you can't do this. And we fall on our face. We make messes of different things, even though we think it's the best thing since sliced bread. But it's like, no, you can't do this. Jesus said, I can do nothing without Him. And that's who we are. We can't do anything without Him. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So we begin to see we're set apart. We're still being set apart. We're still being sanctified. And that's this thing about fullness. Because we have been sanctified. We're in the process of our living, being set apart. Being set apart from evil and set apart to the truth. That's the reason we're set apart. And then we're going to be set apart with our new bodies. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Joe Jolly went home Friday. No more pain. And no more suffering. No more agony. But, you know, I never saw him where his pain and his agony changed his reflection of who Jesus was in his life. I talked to him so many times. I really did. I mean, over the conversation, he called me almost every day during the having the stroke and everything. He would call me daily. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Checking on me. I said, Joe, you don't have to call me every day. He said, not have to or want to. But see, that was his heart. That was his heart. To be absent from the body that he had, the tabernacle that he had, the Bible says he is present. To be absent from that body is to be present with God. So he's in the presence of the living God. I was telling his son, I went over to him, I said, listen, you need to understand something. He beat us to the punch. I had several friends to beat us to the punch. Went home before we did. But guess what? We're going. I'm a going. Are you?
Yes.
I'm going to see Joe again. Are you?
Yes.
And all those that are gone before us. I got a father that when I was eight, I got a father that left this earth, you know, in a car wreck. I'm going to see him again. You know, but see, I love all that, but my pride and joy is to see Jesus. That's my pride and joy, to see the one who paid it all for this boy. I tell people a lot of times, I said, God is good to this boy. He's good to you? Well, tell your neighbor, he's good to you. Now, I want you to tell your neighbor what he's done to you, for you, that proves he's good to you. Just tell him real quick what he's done for you. Tell them. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now you did you get practiced up? Did you practice for that few seconds? Now, when you leave here, you got other people to go tell. This is just the beginning today. You got other people to go tell. You're going to have waiters and waitresses. You're going to have people all over the place. Then they need to hear your story. They need to hear how good God's been to you and me. Amen? Amen. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to talk about the fullness of God and the sanctification. This verse said, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Notice that word entirely. May the God of peace sanctify you entirely. So that's he's taking you out. He's sanctifying you, setting you apart now, and he's going to set you apart when you leave to go home. But he goes on and says that your spirit, soul, and body, there it is, your spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass." He's faithful when he called you, and he's faithful to bring it to pass. So you have to understand that he is in the process of doing all of this. This thing about fullness of God. We cannot be a people who got saved and then we sit. Sit and wait for the trumpet to blow or sit and wait for us to go home. That is not the plan of God. That is not the plan and purpose of God for your life. A lot of times we miss out on the fullness of God wanting to express himself in us and through us. In this set apart process, it's a procedure that we go through. We can't bypass it if we're going to be full of who he is. We have all of him. See, this is not saying, okay, I'm going to have more of Jesus. No, you've got all of Jesus. If you've got Jesus, you've got all of him. You didn't get a little bit. You know, we gave out, I think it was Easter, Resurrection Sunday, we gave out little Jesuses. Y'all remember that? It was cute. But the reality of it was, he's bigger than that in my life. He's a whole lot bigger than that in my life and your life as well. And we have to understand that he's worth it all. He did it all. And he's worth it all. But this fullness is actually us stepping into the abundant life. A lot of us have the life, but we're not experiencing the abundant life that Jesus says, I give you life, and I give you life abundantly. See, the fullness of God is when we begin to mature in Christ, to grow up. And not be children or childish all of our lives. Yeah. I remember being at a restaurant, being at a grocery store, and I was getting something for, I think I was getting something for Brenda, honoring my wife. But in the process of that, I heard somebody screaming, and it's like, anyway, and I rounded the corner, and laying in the middle of the aisle was this little kid, I think 2 years old, something like that, and he was laying, kicking, and yelling, and screaming, and I mean, you could hear him all over the store, and I'm like, I got a buggy, and I'm like, do I run over him? Do I pick him up and put him in? What am I doing? I didn't mean, I wasn't really going to run over him, but my thought did occur to me. Don't say you've never thought that. It's like, you know, Billy Graham said, I can't stop a bird from landing on my head. That's a thought. But I can stop it from building a nest. I really do like that. The thought themselves are not the evil. Acting on the thought. You know. Anyway, this fullness is us being sanctified apart from evil and to practice the goodness and the truth of God and to be full of that. Abundant living. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. This is Paul. He says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. He's bowing his knees before the Father, and he's about to tell you the reason. Here's the reason. That's from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. You don't know where you got the name? from the Father. Do you hear me? From the Father. That is one of the reasons when you see people get married, you see that in the union that the bride will most of the time take the husband's last name to take the name. So listen, every family is derived from the Father. So he qualifies that to begin with. That he would, he said, I'm praying. He said, I'm bending my knees before the Father. That he would grant you. The word grant means to bring forth. It's not a paperwork thing. No, he brings it forth. That he brings forth you according to the riches of his glory. Pause for a minute. He didn't say, I'm just going to release this to you. He said, I'm going to release this according to the fullness and my abundance. The riches. It's his vast abundance that he has. Out of his vast abundance of his glory. His glory is his nature and his character. Think about that. Out of his glory, his nature, and his character. Out of the abundance of his nature and his character, he says, I'm going to grant that to you. Wow. I think about that. It's like, I don't have to come up with that. I don't have to work hard to try to achieve that. It's been brought forth to me from the riches, from the vastness of his abundant character. I'm like, God, you're just so good to me. And why would he want to do that? He said, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. So he's given us all this in order to be able to strengthen me. And that word strengthen means to empower me. What does that mean? I have not the power to do what he wants me to do without him giving me the power to do it. He said, I'm granting this to you, and it's coming out of my fullness, my abundance of my character, and I want to strengthen you. I want to empower you. So it's like, have you ever tried to just work things out by yourself? You know, for a long time ago, I and there for a while, even in the engineering work that we're doing and all, you know, you try to figure it out. Now I think I can figure this out. But I learned real quick that before that happens, I just need to say, God, I need you to help me here. I need your help. I remember Doug Logan giving me the testimony. I think he shared the testimony with you guys as well. He's working at a place and they put him in. Listen, he's got a powerful testimony. I'm not stealing his thunder because he shared it before. You know, he had a record in his day. And then he was going to apply for a job, and then he said, all right, well, I've got that record. I probably no need to go apply for it. But he went and applied for it, and they looked at it and called. And they said, we don't see any record. We don't find any record. From the courthouse, it's gone. There is no record. Hallelujah, there is no record. He goes on, I'll shorten it up a little bit, but just talk to him sometime. He's got a lot to tell you about it. But the thing is, he goes to work, and they said, yeah, okay, we want you to do this. We want you to do the computer work. And he said, I don't know how to do that. He didn't tell them that. You know who he told? He told God, God, I don't know how to do that. You're going to have to help me do that. And he worked there for years, God teaching him how to do things. Listen, that's the empowerment that he's talking about here. I'll empower you. I will empower you with my presence and my knowledge and what I know. And he knows everything. He said, I'll empower you from my richness of his care. He said, I'll do this through his spirit in the inner man. This thing of the inner man, it's not your spirit. This is your soul. And we'll show you in just a minute. It's your mind, your will, and your emotion. The thing about the inner man in I don't think I gave you this, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, do not lose heart, for though your outer man is decaying. I look around and I'm not as young as I used to be. He said, the outer man is decaying. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day by day. That's our soul. Our spirit's solid. Our spirit is intact. Our soul, our mind, will, and emotion is being evangelized and sanctified as we walk in life. So we need to understand the differences here. Said this thing about the inner man, he says, I want you to be able to be strengthened in your inner man, in your soul, in your mind, your will, and your emotion. So that Christ may dwell at home in your hearts through faith. And I looked at this, and I studied this, and I looked, and that word dwell means to, listen, that word dwell means to settle down. It doesn't mean that he's all messed up or that he's all panicky. Mm-mm. It means that he is settled, that you're home. Did you hear me? That Jesus is settled, that he's home in you. Think about it. That he may dwell, that he may settle down. This is my home. I think about that, and that God, that Jesus himself would say, would look at the Duncans over here and say, this is my home. Each one's a tabernacle. Each one's a temple. Christ living by his spirit is at home. Not a visitor. He's home. All of this, he said, all of this is so that Christ can be at home in your heart through faith, and that you and I would be rooted and grounded in love. Why is he at home? Because he's going to root us and ground us in his love. That word rooted means to be securely settled. Are you securely settled in his love? Are you securely settled in his love? Can anything unsettle you concerning the love of God for you? Can it? If it can, then you're not securely settled. He wants us to be securely settled in his love. And this thing about being grounded means to be deeply founded. In other words, we have a firm foundation in his love. So all this is the beginning. So what is he leading up to here? Well, I'm about to tell you what he's leading up to here. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. That you might be able to what? He's given me all this, and he wants me rooted and wanting me set, that I may be able to what? That I may be able to comprehend. This word comprehend means to eagerly take possession of. Give me that. I was playing with a little 2-year-old, and she had a little rabbit, a little duck, and I put it on the sofa, and she'd walk over, and I knew where she was coming to get it. Right before she'd get there, I'd grab it, and I said, mine. And she said, mine. No, mine. You know, and then she'd back up a little bit. I'd put it back down, and then she'd look at me, and she'd lean in and sort of inch in again, and her little hand would come, and I'd grab it again. Give me that. That was now I'm playing with the child, but I'd let her get it sometimes. I would lose sometimes. But she enjoyed playing it. Matter of fact, she'd get it and she'd walk off, and then she'd come back and she'd put it on the sofa herself and said, okay, now let's do it again. You know, but see, the whole thing was like, give me that. Not me. Not just, that's mine. No, mine. Mine. No, mine. She got up. I mean, she made sure I understood that. But he said, eagerly take possession of. Are you eagerly taking possession of the things of God in your life? Or is it just a casual thing for you and I? But he said, no, I want you to comprehend. I want you to eagerly take possession of it. Boy, this is good stuff. I've been awakened to this thing, and I need to be eager about not doing these type things. I need to be eager about doing what he says I need to be doing. I need to be eager at that, not just what will be. No. I need to be eager with this. I need to be having excitement about learning the little things, about the little things that God is able to show me and God is able to show you. Just the little things. You start despising the little things, the big ones won't matter to you. Then it takes something real big for you to ever acknowledge God. Don't wait on the big things to acknowledge God. Acknowledge God over those little things. God, you gave me breath today. You gave me life today. You have protected. It goes on and on and on, but he says, you may be able to eagerly take possession of. And he goes in 19, to know, and so that you will know absolutely. This word means to absolutely know, not to think you know, but you absolutely know, and you know it by experience. Let me ask you this. Have you experienced God's love in your life in a tangible way? I said, wave your hand. Wait, if you see, that's what he's saying about that. So that you will know. So that you will know. Not think, I think he loves me. But when you have an encounter of God's love, when you truly have the encounter and the revelation of God's love, it won't be doubted again. Do you hear me? It won't be doubted again. Why? Because it's an indeed. Because that's an indeed knowing. Can't be done away with, can't be taken, can't be canceled, can't be anything. But it's what it is. He is love. And he said, I've given that to you. He goes on and he says, experience the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Knowing his love will outrun any knowledge that you currently have or ever will have. It won't compare to the knowledge of his love. Whatever it is you know, it will not compare to the knowledge. To know God loves this boy. God loves you. He said, I'm wanting you to know this. He said that, and it'll surpass all the knowledge that you have. Why is that? Why is that, God? That you might be filled up to all the fullness of God. So here you have the very essence of God's plan for your mind and your life. That we would be filled up to the fullness. To the fullness. Of God. Not I'm saved. What are you doing in the kingdom for God? Oh, I'm waiting. Okay. That's not our call. Our call is to be filled with the fullness of Him. And he goes on when he says this, filled means to be furnished. I'm going to furnish you with influence. He said that you may be furnished with influence. I'm amazed at what God does. God not only tells you, so this is what I want you to do, and then he influences you to do it, and then he empowers you to do it. He does it all. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, Feel, be influenced. That's when being filled with the Spirit, being influenced by the Spirit. To be influenced. What's influencing mine in your life? Does the social media influence you? I can't let, I got to make sure I find out what everybody's doing. Is that an influence? I get it. I'm not saying these things are sin. I'm saying be careful what influences our life. Because he's saying here, he said, that you might be, what's this thing about love you experience is love, is you'll be furnished with influence. And it says up. It says that word up means to the measure. To the influenced to the measure. In other words, there's a certain degree of measure that God says, I'm going to bring you to. I'm going to bring you to that. To all the fullness, which is the manifesting of his abundant nature. You want to know what the fullness is? That's what that word means. The manifestation of his abundant nature. God says, you ain't got to do nothing. But one thing. The greatest thing, fathers, the greatest thing, mothers, the greatest thing that you'll ever give your family is surrender to God. That's the best thing you'll ever give them. Surrender to God. That's the most courageous thing. Really, not just the greatest. That's the most courageous thing that you'll ever give your family is surrender to him. You may have all these other things. You may have all these other influences. You may have all these other things going on. All the people saying this, all the people doing it. Said so the best thing you can do, the most courageous thing you'll ever do is surrender to God. Even when they are loaded down on criticizing, making you look bad, making you sound bad, putting you in a bad light, everything. I mean, they're just giving you hello. Giving you down the road. He said, best thing you can do in that, son, is surrender to me. Don't surrender to these things over here. Surrender to me. And I really did ask God. I said, God, this is very painful. I really feel like I need to do something about this. He said, I've already done it. I need you to surrender. I said, well, surrender to what? He said, I want you to love this person. And I want you to pray blessings for this person. And mean it. Do you get that? And mean it. I want you to bless this person. All of a sudden, you understand that you're being influenced by the Holy Spirit. And the love that he gave you, regardless if this person or anybody else loves you or not, doesn't matter. It's the love of God that surpasses all my knowledge. And he wants me to walk in the abundance of his character, his glory, his character, his nature. Page one and paragraph one. Right there. Did you learn anything today? I did too. God's whole intent. It's for you and I not just to become his children. That is big for him, huge for him. But He wants us to become sons and daughters. He wants us to become mature ones that the whole creation is in groaning to see. Everything about creation is in a groaning mode to see you and me mature and be his sons and daughters. No matter what happens to us, we give him praise. I was telling somebody today when we walked in, I said, are you saved? I'll tell this couple of guys. I said, are you saved? Yeah, we're saved. I said, yeah, we are. And the great, they are. And I said, are you saved when everything goes bad? Well, wait a minute. No, they didn't say wait a minute. They looked and said, yeah, we're saved then too. It don't matter what happens out here. We're saved. We're born again. God, we are children of God becoming sons of God. So that's the question. Are you? Are you? Can't play with it. Can't doddle around with it. You just can't. It's got to be the reality of Jesus in our life. And then the reality of growing up and maturing in him. Being influenced by him. Being directed by the Holy Spirit. Been empowered by the Holy Spirit, that we inch and walk our way up to the fullness of God's character and nature. If that's what you want, I want you to stand to your feet. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you see that we're your children. You see who belongs to you and who... We're not fooling you in any way. We're raw before you. We're open before you. Lord, if there's anyone here today, I just ask you to touch their heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Cause them to be able to say yes to you. And if that is you, if today's your day, I want you to listen. I want you to lift both hands up. Both hands. God bless you. Anybody else? Amen. 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 Father, the one that's lifted his hand, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus. By the power of your Spirit, you've touched him. Now begin to move in his life, in his laying down of his past ways, and surrendering to accept the richness of your righteousness and your character, becoming one of your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated.
Amen. Amen. Couple things we want you to know about so that we can not just be hearers of a great word, but doers of the word. Put what we just heard this morning into practice. One thing is we can love on our family. Joe Jolly's funeral will be tomorrow at Blakely Funeral Home in Gaffney, South Carolina. Visitation starts at 1 and the service starts at 2. So if you're available, go and celebrate with the family a great man, a good man. I told Joseph, I said, your father was a good, good man. And I've never met anybody that's name was so apropos. Joe Jolly. Every time I saw that man, he just was encouraging. And even when I wasn't feeling my best, he made me feel good. So quite a great man. Every study I've ever read about, you know, how can you influence culture better? How can you help fight crime? How can you get drugs diminished? How can we make our society better? You know what it all comes down to? The family unit. When the family succeeds, our culture succeeds. And so we heard today that we need to grab a hold of the things. It's mine, and God has promised us something. And one thing he's promised us is a marriage that's reflective of his glory. And so we want to invite you. There's still a couple seats left to the marriage conference coming up at the end of August up in Pigeon Forge. This is one of the best investments you can put in your life. I'm just telling you. I've owned businesses. I've had investments. And the best money I've ever spent is money to help improve my life with my wife. Because when mama's happy, as the old cliche goes, but no, it's seriously, I want to invite you to do that. Also, we are fortunate here. I don't know, has anyone ever been to Ford Conference? Has anyone been to the Ford Conference? You can go and talk to these folks, and they'll tell you, you're going to encounter the presence of God when you go to a Ford Conference, just the worship, everything. And one of the passages Pastor shared this morning in Ephesians, Paul was sitting in a prison cell saying, oh, to know the height, the depth, the length, and the girth, a four-dimensional God. And he says, you know, we as humans can't study our way, intellectually achieve our way to know all the goodness of God. But when we get in his presence, that's when it becomes real. I'm not downing you. Study the word. But there's something about being in the presence of God. It gets real, real quick. And so what I'm saying is you have an opportunity to get some good seats going to the Ford Conference, because we bought some in bulk and we still have a few left, just a few. So if you want to go down there and get in the presence of God, if you're a junior high, or excuse me, high school, college, young adult, I'm telling you, it's well worth your investment, okay, to be in the presence of God. Finally, if you want to go to the mission field and sow into other people, Brother Ed has got still some availabilities to go over to Mexico coming up in October. Go see him. He will be back at the Communication Center, I believe, this evening if you want to talk more about what he's got in store there. Here's one more way that we can not just be hearers of the word, but putting into practice what God is telling us. Amen? Are we excited? Well, happy Father's Day, and let's pray a blessing over our fathers this morning as we go out this week. Lord, thank you for being a father to the fatherless. Thank you for being a father that we can all look up to and know how to become and be better at it. And Lord, we ask you that you would empower the fathers in here to be more and more like you, and so we can walk worthy of the calling that you've called us to. And we ask you that this week will be filled with divine appointments, that we can encounter people and share what's on the inside of us, which is the goodness of God, the power of God, the healing of God, and the grace and mercy of God. In your name we pray, amen. Blessings, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.